This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Another early start, and this time a 500-mile round trip for Ipswich Town and the Travelling Blue Army. Join us as we assess the trip to Cardiff here on the Blue Monday podcast. Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, discussing the town up or down since 2015. I'm Rich Woodward and welcome to the pre-match show brought to you in partnership with the Greyhound Pub, the best pub in Ipswich. We go live every Thursday at 8 p.m. here on YouTube and we're available on podcast shortly afterwards. And continuing our fine appearance form, Seb Brown, how you doing? 48 hours, is it? 2 days after Tuesday night. Have you come down off the high that was the 3-2 victory over Bristol City?
Yeah, I mean, I've watched the Leif Davis winner probably 20 times since then with the comment. What does the commentator say? If you think they're going to wither in this promotion wither race, away. Think again or something. Think again. Yeah, it's brilliant. And as we said on the show, it's, you know, it's an amazing time to be a Town fan. It's an incredibly special squad, special bunch of players, special manager. And let's just all enjoy it because it's absolutely phenomenal. And every weekend it seems to get a little bit better, doesn't it?
It does. And what's great now is how our late heroics are just triggering every other fan base in the championship.
So lucky.
I can't believe how lucky we are. It's just,
I know. I thought it was tactics or stamina or coaching or fitness.
It's just goals.
Who'd have known?
Penalties as well, obviously, because that's huge for us too. Other teams also
don't
just
forget that the no red cards. That was quite lucky.
Yeah, so no red season. Cards as well. So just yeah, lucky, you know, long may that luck continue. We are live. We want to hear from everyone in the chat as well. We are going to talk about the Cardiff game, so that will be our focus. But happy to hear anything Ipswich Town related or weather related, given this is the unofficial weather podcast as well here on Blue Monday. Darren's here. Bullet Blue Train just speeds on, guys. Very good evening to you. David is here as well. Huge game to watch on Sky tomorrow. Not a big fan of Wednesday, but sure am tomorrow. Yeah, we'll talk about that in the predictions later on. Paul is here. Colin is here. Ipswich Town, old boy. Wendy's are on a good streak. Local derby leads to drop point. A lot of confidence about Sheffield Wednesday. We've got to play them next week, so let's not get too high on Sheffield Wednesday too soon, folks. Possibly a good way to start the Saturday game, isn't it? With Sheffield Wednesday maybe doing us a favour. Nick is here as well. Here we go. You make your own luck. Hard work, lots of attacking options, and the bravery to believe you can outscore the opposition and to keep going for it, isn't it, Seb? I think that came up on the Sky punditry after the game. You know, a lot of teams at Tool would kind of, having not been maybe at their best, would kind of just accept that. But we never do we? We always go for the winning goal, don't we? And that's massively to our credit.
Absolutely. It sounds cheesy given how many times Mark Ashton has said it, but we are relentless, aren't we? It's wave after wave of attack, and a lot of sides would have been deflated with the 85th minute, the penalty miss. A lot of sides probably thinking, okay, we've missed a penalty late on to win the game. We've gone behind twice in the game, maybe take a point, regroup and hashtag go again on the weekend, but not us. We can keep going right to the very end and just so lucky, aren't we?
Yep. Neil, evening all. Dare to dream? The 100% win record is looking good so far. Norman asking about winning seven in a row. We're not. That's not my style, Norman, but I'm very happy if people want to answer that question in the chat. Seb might answer it if he knows, but I think he's too busy trying to find lineup quizzes to flummox me with. Flummox is the word of the day. I don't think I've used that in a sentence ever. Flummox. What a great word that is. Yeah, a lot of people making their trips as well, planning that. Reading, Tractor, the 713. If you're on the coach, and if you're listening to this on the coach after the fact, Seb and I were on the road from various parts of the country going down to Plymouth last week. I hope you got some, at least an hour of enjoyment to break up the monotony of the trip across the country. So if you're listening on the coach and have left in the early hours on Saturday, we salute you. And we also salute the taste in podcasts as well. Chris, I think got the prediction last week spot on as well, by the way. More about predictions later on. But great to have you, Chris, from Queenstown, New Zealand, the bungee jump capital of the world. Yeah, all good. And Matt is here as well. When was the last 12:30 sat kickoff match that we won? There we go. Bring this back down to Matt. Yeah, all put that, fry that in the think wok as well.
Was that Sunday? I can't remember. Yeah, I can't remember.
Don't think about it. Don't think about it. Steve's in Cyprus. Roll on Saturday. Three more points. Lovely stuff. Thank you, everybody. And here we go. The weather reports. Brooklyn, 11 degrees, cloudy. I think we've had one from, I think it's sunny in Melbourne, 22 degrees, I think. Mike or said, our friend there. But yeah, a lot of you here. Great. And Tony Rand winning the league by 5 points. Goodness me. That's Tony a comment for Seb to read out.
Tony Kelsey, knows his stuff.
Yeah, there you go. Streaky, 4:30 departure for him. That good old 12:30 kickoffs. Well, more about 12:30 kickoffs, Seb. And I'm not going to play the Room 101 music because we've done it. But if that question that we just had about 12:30 kickoffs is right, and I forget, it was Matt, wasn't it? How is your feelings towards the East Anglian Derby? Because it wouldn't have been a game where you would do the April predictions, probably, won't we, in a couple of weeks' time. Are you predicting a win at Carrow Road, Seb? And are you changing your position on a 12:30 kickoff live on Sky?
I didn't predict a win at Carrow. We did our Blue Monday predictions for the entire season. I think we've released the first batch so far with the video that Craig did, but I did go for a draw at Carrow Road. But I think the 12:30 was inevitable, wasn't it? I think we're all resigned to the fact that we know both games in a season when we play them are going to be half 12 kickoffs. It's just a case of if it's a Saturday or a Sunday. I think the Old Firm are playing on the Sunday at half 12, so Sky have got that one. So that it is what it is. It's an inevitable consequence. I don't really understand why can Sheffield Wednesday go to Leeds? I would suggest, I know they're not direct rivals, but they're probably more vociferous than us and that lot up the
vociferous
road.
Vociferous like us. Yeah,
shut up.
Flummoxed you there, haven't I? Flummoxed you.
Than that lot up the road. Charmed. So I don't really understand why they're allowed to kick off at 8 o'clock and we have to do it at half 12. It'll affect the atmosphere, but it's an inevitable consequence. And yeah, thanks Suffolk and Norfolk Constabulary.
And tell the viewers and listeners what time that makes the kickoff for us.
Yes, we're in Vegas. So you've done the maths. Did you say it was half 2 in the morning?
Half 2 in the morning.
Right, okay, brilliant.
So we just power through, keep gambling all night.
Yeah.
Yep. Good. That's how you do it. When the fun stops,
tune in for a live on it. Yeah,
we'll do a live
hour time. We'll go live if we've beaten them for everybody. There you go.
Helsinki -8 degrees. That's and Chris has helped us out. Here we go. Our all time, Chris Rand, by the way. Always love Chris's contributions. Lots of big people making excellent contributions tonight, as always. Chris here. Welcome to Ipswich, by the way, as well. Recently moved down to Suffolk. Consecutive win record in secondary is 6. Just saying, is it going to be 7 on Saturday? We'll find out. And Ashley correcting us or helping us out with Wimbledon away in the FA Cup.
Oh, yeah.
12:30 kickoff there. So, it is what it is. I don't think it was ever going to be anything other than that, was it? Probably better than it is that it isn't a Sunday, I think. Sunday kickoffs, as you say, rubbish, aren't they? So, yep, it is what it is. Amari Hutchinson had a good February, Seb. Won the lower tier podcast, I think it is, player of the month, and he's up that's the real quiz. Well, this could be the real quiz. Talk to us about what he's up for.
He's nominated, isn't he, for the Player of the Month for February. I think, did he get 3 goals and 2 assists in that time? All 3 of his goals came in injury time, didn't they? There was the winners against Rotherham. Yeah, Clutchinson, that's right. You termed it. I had to educate me on what Clutchinson means. So he's had a great month. He's up against Josh Sargent from that lot up the road, who got 5 goals. Leeds player, I can't think of his name, Gurev, is it? The guy that's dropped into central midfield, and they've dropped their £10 million player back into the centre-half position and looking like a tactical masterstroke from Daniel Farker. And Ike Ugbo, who played for the... Chat guys, we're about to talk about tonight, and we will face him next weekend at Portland. He's gone to Sheffield Wednesday. He's got, I think, 5 goals in February as well. So it's I'm not sure he'll get that, because obviously we did drop points. We drew one. Leeds won all their games, but the guy isn't a sexy player in terms of scoring goals. So I'm not entirely sure who will get that one.
Yeah, I'd imagine it'll be between Sargent and Ugbo if I was to bet, but maybe the Chelsea interest.
Goals
there.
Are headlines, aren't they? And yeah.
He's done it in big games, though, hasn't he, Amari? So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I assume you'll find out about that
tomorrow morning.
This is recorded Thursday night.
Yeah, 6 a.m. Friday morning it'll be announced. So,
fingers crossed. ICFC women are on the road again. If travelling to Plymouth isn't enough, it's a trip to another P team on the road. I hope that didn't come through on the mic too heavily. Back to Portsmouth, who've beaten us twice. In jammy fashion. Well, we should have beaten them. We should have got points off them, I think. So I think we'll be looking to get some revenge out of that. But Pompey having a great season, probably the favourites at this point to get promoted as well. You can't begrudge them that, I guess. But it would be great, I think, to dent that and to open things up as well, and to build some confidence as well ahead of the big game at Portman Road on the 23rd of March. Tickets are now on general sale for that one, and filling up really fast on the West Stand and the Cobbold Stand. So if you are planning on getting a ticket, you need to go quick, because otherwise you might end up sitting next to me in section 6 with a drum. And I'm sure that's not, well, that might be some people's cup of tea, but probably,
if you're allowed to this week after you were.
Oh yeah, tell everyone.
Plymouth. So I experienced my first ITC women game last Sunday. It's great, by the way. I highly do recommend it. If you're free the weekend of the 23rd, get yourselves down to Portman Road, because it's an excellent spectacle to watch. And obviously Richard took his drum all the way to the South Coast with him. Forgot said drumstick, so we did an emergency stop off at a Sainsbury's, and what did we find? Was it a washing up brush and a
wooden spoon? Pastry brush. Yeah, we couldn't find wooden spoons. Wooden spoons don't exist anymore, Seb. They're not good for the... I don't know if they're bad for the environment. Plastic isn't, so I don't know.
But you got some PTFE tape and wrapped it around to make it more into a drumstick. And then, was it the very first time you had a go on it at the Plymouth keeper's goal kick? An official walk over and had a word with him.
I like to put off the keepers when they take their goal kicks, and it worked. Keeper just kicked it straight to Ipswich, and a Devonshire FA official came and told me off, so I had to stop. So, up yours, Devonshire FA in Plymouth. I had to, poor Ian who drove me, took up all the boot space. But anyway, that'll be sorted for the 23rd. I'm going to get permission in advance and get it in writing. But yeah, the girls are playing fantastic football, well deserving of their 3-1 victory. Probably should have been more last week. So do get down on the 23rd. Let's talk about, what is it, the 9th? I think it is the 9th of March, Seb, Cardiff. Another long trip, as we said, off the top. I wonder what whether we've ever had an aggregate of the lot of 3 away trips in a row with higher mileage. Swansea, right before Plymouth, and then
Swansea, Plymouth, and now Cardiff.
So for the second, doing its best, but
yeah, the second Saturday in a row, people having to leave Portman Road at what, 4 a.m. I'm guessing, judging from the comments in the chat tonight. So yeah, fair play if you did Plymouth last week. I think Colin there said he did Plymouth last week. He's doing Cardiff again this week. So yeah, consecutive 4 a.m. starts. Fair play to you. That's really dedication.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, the cars are putting the mileage on, or the buses at least as well. But and both teams actually, Seb, in a pretty decent run of form. Obviously, we are the form team in the league right now. But Cardiff having been a bit weird up and down. They're very streaky. We'll talk about that in a bit. But they are better of late. The season overall, probably one where they're doing better than maybe a few pundits thought. They struggled, didn't they, last season? But yeah, probably a fair season for them, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, they were right down there last season, weren't they? And in the preseason predictions, the 1-24s that we all do these days, I think a lot of people had them struggling and took them to go down. They appointed Errol Bullitt, who we'll discuss, who was a kind of an unknown quantity at this level. And I think I said in the 1-24 we did, I counted that against them. But I think they've done pretty well. I mean, they've had an upturn in form recently, won the last three on the bounce, including a 1-0 victory last night. That's seen them pull clear of the relegation zone. They won't get involved in that. They're 7 points off of sixth. So although they might have designs looking upwards, I think that's going to be too much of an ask. There's too much traffic in the way. So they are probably one of the few sides in the league who pretty much don't have much to play for the rest of the season. So I guess it's a case of, you know, he can evaluate his squad, make decisions based on next year. But overall, I think if you'd said to a Cardiff fan, you'll be on 57 points or whatever it is by the 50 points, sorry, 10th in the table by the second weekend in March, given what they've experienced in previous years. Also, we've still got the same manager. They normally like to chop and change a manager. I think they'll be pretty happy with that. And I think it goes down as a fairly solid, impressive season.
Yeah, agreed with that. There are some bits and pieces, though, that we need to mention. Goals not exactly easy to come by for them as well, and quite a few injuries, which we definitely talk about later on. But yeah, the goal scoring stats don't make for good reading, do they?
No, but equally, a bit like Bristol City, they don't score many, but equally they don't concede many either. So as we said, they're 10th in the table with 50 points. They've won 15 of the 35 games played, which is a 43% win rate. It's very much win or bust, as you've written in the script. They've only drawn 5 games so far this season, which is the second lowest in the league. They either win or they get tonked, but they are the lowest scorers in the top half of the table. Only 6 teams in the league have scored less all season, which means they've got a -7 goal difference. So yeah, creating chances, goals, scoring is not their forte, which I guess explains why they were so heavily linked with Kiefer Moore, weren't they? You know, in the window, it was us and them going for him on deadline day. They clearly identified that as a position they needed to strengthen based on the first half of the season. Thankfully, we got him. They didn't. And it'll be up to the manager now, I guess, for the next few months. They've got a couple of players on loan in the forward positions. He can make decisions on them. And if not, move on to summer transfer targets, because at the back, they're okay. But up front, they do really lack creativity and goal scoring.
They had a pretty shocking run from mid-November through to the new year, didn't they, Seb? But yeah. 3 wins on the out of the last 3.
Streaky, yeah, really streaky. Started the season well. We played them pretty early on, didn't we? And at that stage, I think they won 3 of the first 4. We may have been one of their first defeats of the season. And they played quite well at Portman Road. And I think Dave was on the flagship show, and he was kind of saying, I don't expect them to be in a relegation battle. They're doing okay. But then they hit this really awful run of form. They took 17 points from a possible 54 between the start of November and the start of January. They kind of win 1 every 4 games or so, lose 2, end up drawing 1. So it was never going to get them kind of pulling up any trees in their league position. But recent upturn, they lost 3 on the bounce, but they've now won the last 3. So they can turn to kind of 1 win in 7 into 3 on the bounce. So it's a very streaky side, which I guess you probably do get with it's a manager who builds a side out of frees and loans. It's his first season in English football, trying to get across his methodology and his tactics. So I guess I can kind of forgive them a little bit for that one. But yeah, I guess now with the 3 wins on the bounce, and they're okay at home, not amazing, but they are okay at home, they'll be looking to push on further and maybe kind of have an influence in that 6th place running.
We're saying that the teams they've beaten are teams you'd probably expect a mid-table team to beat. Bristol City, Stoke, Huddersfield Wednesday night. I'll let you elaborate a little bit more on that one. The defeat in that 5-game run was at Norwich. And whilst there was a really quality goal in there, I think it was Sara with the free kick, really dysfunctional situation with some of the goals conceded, really messy defending, which bodes well, I guess, for us, hopefully. And then a 0-0 with Blackburn, as you say. So yeah, these aren't wins against the West Broms, Coventry, Hulls, dare we say Southampton, Leeds, or us quite yet. But yeah, it's definitely an uptick in form compared to the rest of the season, which is, as you said, very spiky. Do you want to elaborate on the home form, Seb? It's kind of average, isn't it?
Yeah, 27 points it is from the games played. As we've already discussed, their goal scoring, it's mid-table form. It's 13th in the league. They've won 8, drawn 3, and lost 7. It's a neutral goal difference. Scored 21, like I said, not big prolific scorers, but conceded 21. So they don't concede that many either, I guess you could say. Last time out was last night. They were at home. They beat Huddersfield 1-0. A Connor Chaplin-esque goal, I would describe it as. It was a ball played out to the right wing. Josh Bowler, who's on loan from Forest, makes the run, pulls the ball back, to kind of the centre circle, the penalty spot. And January signing, Farmer Daidu kind of gets across his man and turns the ball home. So yeah, Connor Chaplin-esque goal. They look to me in the highlights a bit susceptible to kind of high, deep crosses to the back post. Huddersfield's two best chances both came from those kind of opportunities. So having seen the goal last week, Kiefer Moore's goal, it started with a big cross to the back post that Burgess managed to keep in play, didn't he? That could be an avenue for us to potentially exploit. That looked for me to be their weak spots. 47% possession last night, 0.64 XG to Huddersfield's 1.65. So one for all you XG lovers out there, which proves it's got absolutely nothing to do with the final result. They underperformed on that, but they got the win, and as I said, it's their third win on the bounce, so they started to hit a little bit of form.
Yeah, and Huddersfield guilty of missing the XG 1.65 is because I don't know who it was, Ward, I guess, missed from 3 yards out.
That was the second cross to the back post, wasn't it? Yeah. I'm not sure Huddersfield, how they missed that one.
Just needed to bundle that over the line, you know.
Yep.
You knee that in, don't you? Or it let you hit you in the face. You mentioned Errol Belew, the manager. Very briefly, if you want a more in-depth fact file about him, then you can check out the home pre-match show. We dealt with him in a little bit more detail, but good pedigree in the Turkish league, Seb.
Yeah, and he's doing all right. It's 1.38 points per game, which gets you 63 across a full season, which is comfortably safe, isn't it? Probably finishes you somewhere between sort of 12th and 15th or so. Managed over 200 games in the Turkish Super League, including a spell at Fenerbahce. Got a couple of clubs into the Europa League. So although he was a completely unknown quantity to the English game when he was appointed in the summer, I think he's done well, given they probably just expected to keep their heads above water. They're probably thinking if we can finish 20th, 19th again, like we have in previous years, that'll do as they look to address their off-field kind of financial issues. But I think he deserves credit. He's made them hard to beat, and I think he's done a decent job.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And then the history, Seb. I always feel like
we're always top, aren't we? Whenever we do the heads-to-heads, Ipswich have just won way more games than pretty much.
It's all the stuff that happened before we were alive. You know, that's all that history, isn't it? I don't think we played them that many times in the kind of Robson era. I think we would have always been first division, would we? But yeah, I was surprised at the margin, because I kind of feel like of recent years we've not been good against them, have we?
No, agreed. Yeah, I mean, it's 22 Ipswich wins, 14 draws and 16 Cardiff wins. A 3-2 victory for us, obviously, at Portman Road back in September. 2-0 down, looking pretty much out of it. I thought on the day Aaron Ramsey scored, didn't he? Look really good. Their manager made a couple of kind of tactical changes and looked to shut up shop pretty early in the second half. And then Nathan Broadhead got a bit angry, didn't he? And kind of smashed one home from just inside the D. And Ladapo got a couple from a combined range of about 3 yards, 2.5, 3 yards. And somehow I guess that was the first time we saw one of these epic 3-2 victories at Portman Road where we've come from behind that we now pretty much take for granted, don't we? The last game at Cardiff was in October 2017, a 3-1 defeat for us at Halloween. No, we weren't. We were at the 1 6 months previously. We also lost 3-1. Yeah, I thought the same thing. Okay. We also lost 3-1 in March 2017. Our last victory there, if you follow the TWTD on this day feature, it was actually this week. I think it was 2 days ago. It was a 2-0 victory in 2011, a Jimmy Bullard masterclass. Ooh. Do you remember how good he was when we signed him on loan? Absolutely brilliant. And then we signed him and he turned out to be absolute dog. Yeah, scored a 30 yarder and a deflected free kick right towards the end. So yeah, highlight for the Jimmy Bullard lovers. Do you want a lineup quiz, or are you bored of this feature yet?
I can go for it. I can declare that I wasn't in the country. In fact, I was in the southern hemisphere when that game was played.
It was on Sky though, so you've got no excuse.
Yeah, I was in the southern hemisphere. It was 2011. It's before Town TV and all that jazz. So I wasn't able to watch it, but it's the Paul Jewell era, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's Jewell's just taken over about 2 months ago, 2 months beforehand. So he signs Jimmy Bullard, and it's that kind of 6 months with Bullard to the end of the season. So
I'm getting some help in the chat.
I cannot work out the formation. It may have been a 4-2-2. It may have been a 4-3-3. Yeah, it's I'm struggling to work out what it is. But Neil Johnson there, you've got one. You've got Fulham, and also you've got Jimmy Bullard already. So off you go.
Jason Scotland.
Yeah, he started. Yeah, striker.
I would say, well, the back line, I'm trying to think of the Barnsley game, really, but I don't think Keith Andrews, he'd gone by then, hadn't he?
Yeah, he went back in the January window, didn't he?
McCauley and Delaney?
Yeah, that's the centre-half position. I'm watching your eyes, because last time you did this, you kept looking down.
No, I haven't. There's nothing there. There's nothing up here either. Priskin. I'm trying to think of the crap signings from Roy Keane. Martin.
He was still there. Lee Martin played left wing, I assume, on this weird formation.
Carlos.
Right back was out of, right back out of position. Mick moved him straight away as soon as he took over. So you're missing the left back. Left back was a signing that summer who we signed him from Cardiff, actually. I think he was 35, 36 when we signed him.
Oh, no, that's not helping me at all.
Mark Kennedy.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
I think you said Leadbitter, so I'll give you that one.
Yeah, that was random.
This chap was giving out free pasties last week.
Oh, Norris. Okay. Yeah.
David Norris. Yep. You've already obviously had Bullard. So it's the other striker that you're missing up front alongside Jason Scotland. Never really fulfilled his potential. Still probably quite young, only 30 or 29. Big money move to Sunderland, but never really pushed on.
Oh, what? Wickham?
Yeah, Connor Wickham.
Yep. Walters has gone by then, isn't he? Yeah.
So. Yeah, no, Walters.
Is that it? Is that the team?
Yeah, that's it. So Fulham in goal, Edwards, McCauley, Delaney and Kennedy at the back. Then a weird midfield of Lee Martin, Norris, Bullard and Leadbitter. I presume Norris must have played right wing. And then Wickham and Jason Scotland up front.
Was Chopra playing for them?
Yes, he was. He got subbed in the 87th minute, as was Jett.
Wow, didn't I Jet play for Cardiff?
Yeah, Jet was there.
Oh, I'm not calling him that. Not calling him that.
He can be a world beater or he can be a panel beater.
There you go. Thank you to the chat who helped me out big time there. Not one. Well, I think that was like a rare hopeful moment in that Paul Jewell era. Like Barnsley, the rest of it was a load of crap, wasn't it? I nearly swore then. Let's bring things back to the future or back to the present. Some January business. I mean, we've talked about Daidu, haven't we? Coming in, but it's not. Yeah, Ogbo going back. I guess maybe a surprise given we've talked about him already in this podcast. How he's doing well at Wednesday. Interesting that they didn't want to hold on to him. But yeah, not exciting business. Not particularly sexy transfer business in January, was it, Seb?
I think you describe it as solid. So David Turnbull's come in from Celtic for an undisclosed fee. He can play centre mid, or he kind of played as a 10 against Huddersfield last night. Ethan Horvath, who's come in from Forest, goalkeeper. He was Luton's promotion goalkeeper last season. Can't get a look in there with their ridiculous 50 million man squad. So he's gone there for the second half of the season. Nathaniel Phillips has gone on loan from Liverpool. Spent the first half of the season, Preston, was it, I want to say? He got recorded. Gordon has now gone out there. We've already discussed Daidu and a few departures. You say about Ogbo, but he started the season really well. I think he got three in the first four and we were bigging him up in the September clash, but he only scored once more after that and kind of drifted away and became a bit of a sub player. So I don't think they were that fussed for him to move on. Jonathan Panzo is an ex-Forest kind of left centre-back, left back, got recalled and only made four sub appearances.
He was subbed at half-time against us, I think, for Ogbo, if I remember rightly.
Was he? No, Ogbo would have started against us, surely.
Someone might be able to correct me in the chat. I think Panzo was, definitely subbed, I think, maybe came on at halftime for someone.
Maybe he was the one when he tried to shut up shop pretty early into the second half, which didn't go very well for them. Runar Runnarsson, the goalkeeper, has gone back to Arsenal and since moved on from them, only made six appearances. So it's a clearing out of the kind of players that haven't really done much in the first half of the season and additions of a bit of solidity, I would suggest, with their business. They're still operating under financial constraints. They announced a 29 million quid loss a couple of years ago. Today, they've revealed it's an 11 million pound loss. So they're still losing money, but they are working to reduce that deficit. They've saved 8 million quid apparently off the wage bill. So it's a case of shipping out high earners, doing what they can with frees and loans, spending a bit of money when they can with the likes of David Turnbull. But they do still have kind of FFP and financial issues to consider, which explains why they were struggling to get Kiefer Moore and why they kind of operate the way they do.
Yeah, the subs against us, by the way, in the 63rd minute. So we literally just got one back through Broadhead's long range that you talked about. And then he took off Mate and Rules, who'd scored in the game along with Ramsey to give them the lead. And within 5 minutes, we'd equalised and then Napo scored the win later on. So, yeah,
that was... He went to a three, didn't he? I think Sean was talking about it in Telegram. I think he went to a back three and we just kind of, that gave us a bit of space to exploit and we started getting the rubber of the green a bit more because we struggled to break them down when it was a solid kind of four.
Guess what formation they play, everybody? Tell us, Seb.
Do you remember last year, everything seemed to be a 3-5-2 with wing-backs and stuff. This year, every side in the Championship seems to just play 4-2-3-1, don't they? It's the kind of latest...
It's our lucky formation, isn't it?
the latest craze. They're slightly more towards the direct playing style. They are the lowest ranked pressers in the division, so don't expect much pressing activity from them. This kind of feeds into the idea that they are just simply a solid side. They focus really heavily on the wide positions as well. 78% of their attacks come from the flanks, which is the third highest in the division. We'll discuss Perry NG in a minute, their kind of right back, right winger. He's sort of their star man. But they are a side that doesn't come through the middle. They will go down the flanks.
Can you imagine if we had Perry? Because we talked about this in the previous pre-match show. Perry NG was linked with us when we signed someone else, I think.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, Cruz manager. I think we signed another right back. And I think they were going, oh, they should have gone for Perry NG. Like, he was touting him around really, you know, weirdly.
Yeah, that rings a bell. I can't think who it was that we signed, but I do remember the crew manager saying something along those lines.
Yeah. It would have been like 14, 15. I think it was under Mick. I guess we would have signed. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Someone can look it up. Oh, there you go, Jacob.
There you go, Jacob got it when KVY.
Yeah, and actually, if you think about it, knowing what we know now about Perry and G, yeah, he probably was right. Can you imagine Leaf on the left and Perry and G on the right?
Well, that's going to be a fantastic battle, isn't it? Perry NG plays down their right. Leaf obviously plays down our left. So that's going to be a great battle of kind of who can keep the little one pushed back the most.
Yeah. And here's Rando adding value. We were linked with Perry NG's brother, Perry XG. There you go. Ba-dum-tsh. Thank you for your contribution and proof that I will read anything out if you put it in the chat. I will read the teleprompter.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Should you give us any stats, slowdown, say anything that you've picked out there that might give us a style of play indication? Apart from
nothing outstanding, I mean,
play, didn't you?
Yeah, more direct, as I said. They're happy for the sides to have the ball. 47% possession is 16th in the league, as is their pass completion rate of 78%. 66 average long balls per game is the third highest in the division, I think, after Huddersfield and Rotherham. So as we say, they will kind of flick towards the more direct style of play. We've already discussed the goal scoring. It is an issue. 21 goals scored at home is the sixth fewest. 11 shots taken per game is the third fewest. 4 shots on target per game is 17th, and the quality of those chances is a real issue. They've got the third lowest XG in the division, which is 33. So like last week with Plymouth, another side that's outperforming their XG, they just don't create that many quality chances. But as I said at the start, they are quite miserly from a defensive point of view. They've kept 11 clean sheets, which is the fourth highest in the league. They only average 10 shots conceded per game, which is the fourth fewest, and 11 interceptions per game is the joint third highest. So although they're not brilliant, as I said, at one end, they are pretty good at keeping teams out at the other end.
We'll talk about the key players. If you can do me a favour and help Chris out here, because Chris is giving us an alternative pronunciation. So we've already gone with one. So you can now go with Chris's recommendation there. If someone wants to corroborate that, because I've always heard it NG, but he might be one of these guys, Chris, that basically just says, I don't mind, but it should be this. So there you go, Seb. We love to give you the pronunciation in advance, and there you've got it. So Tell us all about Perry Ing.
Perry Ing is their star man. He's their right back / right wing back. He's their top scorer with 6, also has 3 assists, averages 71 touches per game. By comparison, Morsey averages about 76, 77. So they will look to kind of get him on the ball. As I said, that'll be a fascinating battle down that flank of the pitch. They like to go down the right-hand side. They like to exploit the wide positions. We saw, obviously, a masterclass from Leif Davis on Tuesday night. So we know how much he loves to get forward. So that could be a really, really interesting battle to watch. Carlin Grant is on loan from West Brom.
Sorry. Just quickly, I mean, it looks almost the opposite situation for Davis, doesn't it? That Perry Ing is allowed to maraud wherever the hell he wants. That whole of that side of the pitch is his. He does like to cut in as well. So maraud, Leaf generally stays quite
high and wide,
close to the touchline, doesn't he? Whereas Ing will cut in. He had a shot from about 30 yards against Bristol City. He's also a threat from a set piece as well, scored in that game and from a corner. So he is definitely one to keep a lookout for. Sorry, keep going, Seb.
All right. Carlin Grant is a one-time £15 million player. He moved to West Brom from Huddersfield in 2020, been loaned out to Cardiff for this season. Did he miss an absolute sitter in the home game at 0-0, if I remember rightly, at the North Stand end? I think he missed a really, really good chance. He's just back from injury. He can play either wide left or play through the middle. We've already discussed Famara Dado, got his first goal for the club against Huddersfield last night, known for his best spell at Bristol City. 4 seasons in the Championship, 50-odd goals, £5 million quid he cost Bristol City back in the day. The midfield will be quite in the midfield two. It'll be two out of Manolis Tsiopis, Ryan Wintle or Joe Rules. Tsiopis is kind of the most defensive of the three. Wintle's got a goal and 4 assists. Rules, who scored in that game, didn't he, at Portman? I think 1 goal and 7 assists. So it's a bit of a kind of industrious midfield. Josh Bowler, I've already discussed, plays down the right on loan from Forest. Never played for Forest. He was one of those crazy 2022 kind of odd signings in the summer. He's never played for him. He's always been loaned out. He got the assist for the goal last night. Kiefer Moore will have a good old strong battle against centre-backs Dimitris Goutas and Nathaniel Phillips. They're both 6'2". And the keeper, as we said, Ethan Horas, signed from Forest for the second half of the season. He's replaced Jack Ulnwick in goal for the last 6 games. Ulnwick might be back after injury, but Horvath has kept 3 clean sheets in that time, so he might well still get the nod. Young winger Ollie Tanner, he had an amazing pre-season. I think he played in the game against us at Portman Road. He was due to be loaned out, but he had a really good pre-season and started the season pretty well. He's back involved after a bit of a disciplinary issue. He was kind of banished to the under-21s, and the manager came out and said that, you know, we need good characters in the dressing room. We want the correct characters and players. But he was on the bench last night against Huddersfield, so he may have been welcomed back to the squad. Aaron Ramsey is out injured. He's been ruled out after the international break. He scored the goal. He ran the show. He was really good, wasn't he, at Portman Road that day. So that's a bit of a boost. He won't be featuring. Callum Robinson has been out for a couple of months. He actually played against our under-21s earlier in the week. There was kind of a feeling he might be involved from the bench, but the manager, unless it's mind games, the manager's come out and said that he won't feature again till after the international break. Neither will ex-ITFC loanee Mark McGuinness. He's been out for 5 weeks with the hamstrings. He's still about a month away or so.
And Keon Etete won't also feature by the look of it. He's a question mark, but yeah, definitely looks like Ramsey, who just can't catch a break, can he? Back at his home team, as it were, but just can't get going for them.
He's only made 6 starts also. He scored 3 goals, actually. His record's really good, but he's only made 6 starts kind of all season. So unfortunately, it's not gone well since going back there.
All right, poor guy. Any other bits and pieces of insight that you want to provide on Cardiff? I've got one for a change, but do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll do my little one first. Something that jumped out at me is that if you combine us and Cardiff together, we've both scored 32 goals from set pieces this season. Cardiff have scored 18. We've scored 14, which are the top 2 highest in the division, respectively. So it might well be a game for a set piece on Saturday.
And 8 of Cardiff's 21 goals at home have been from set pieces as well. That's a good chunk, nearly 50%. So look, I mentioned the corners for... I think it is. We've had different... apologies to Perry...
I'm right so used to it being Perry Ing. That's how I've always just heard it.
Yeah, and I think what we did last time wasn't right either. So I think it's Ng, but it's very difficult on a microphone to
Perry Ng. Is that what we're going
with
now?
Okay. With a G, that you need to pronounce the G as well. But yes.
Perry, our mate Perry. Kevin and
Pezza,
Perry.
Pez dispenser. So yeah, definitely a threat there. Won them the game, I think, at Bristol City as well. This is one where we mentioned the kind of the very... the kind of win or bust type situation with Cardiff as well. It's the same for the first goal in their home match as being really significant. Of the times they've gone behind, which is eight, they've lost seven times. But also on the flip side of that, the 11 times they've taken the lead at home, they've only lost once and won eight. So the first goal, Seb, looks like it could be crucial. Well, albeit we know we've got that fighting spirit, don't we? So, you know, a team has come back from a losing position at Cardiff, but it doesn't happen too often if you want to win the match. So definitely start with intent. That's Cardiff. We will come to Ipswich in a second. So we'll start thinking about who's going to play right back, who's going to play centre mid, who's going to play up front, who's going to play right wing and all that stuff. Get your views in the chat. We will come to those. But we've got a few bits and pieces of housekeeping. As always, we're brought to you in partnership with the Greyhound Pub and their Sixto Pie Roll Tar thing, which I don't know if that's going to make an appearance ever again, but what a fantastic thing. So head to the Greyhound pre-match ahead of Sheffield Wednesday and head there if you're in town. As we said at the start, it's the best pub in town. There, we've said it. Go and give them your support. We've got a giveaway going on at the moment as well with Matthew Wood Design. That's on all of our socials. There's a post that you need to like on Facebook or Instagram, or a post on X/Twitter for you to retweet as well. You need to follow Matthew. And it's a really nice, I've kind of got, you can see the bottom of it here, my Port Monroe print. I think Seb's got one as well. And yeah, it's kind of lovely different views that he's graphic designed and caught, you know, a map and grid references and all that kind of cool stuff. So we've got one of those to give away. So head over there and give Matthew your support as well. In terms of content for the weekend, this is our third podcast in 4 days, is it, Seb? I think Monday we put out the Bristol preview. Then we did Ben's watch long, which went down our channel as well. Then we did the post-match reaction. I spoke to Gab last night about the championship promotion race. We're here tonight. We're back tomorrow depending on when you're listening to this, we're back on Saturday to watch the game along. Ben and I will do the watch along on Saturday lunchtime. So get involved in that if you're unable to do that, or if you're at the game, come and join us, flagship show, 8 p.m. Sunday night, as always, to talk about the game after the fact. Ben, Dave, and Craig, who is making the journey there. And thank you so much. The numbers tonight are fantastic. Thank you, everyone who's got involved in the chat, who's watching along. The likes on Facebook, we see you. 11 of you have given us a thumbs up there. Please do give us a thumbs up here on YouTube as well. It makes a massive difference to who gets to see our content. And if you haven't subscribed yet, we've passed a milestone and we keep smashing these milestones. So please get involved and subscribe. As we say, lots of content coming your way. We're really excited, obviously. Thank you to Kieran McKenna and Ipswich Town, basically, for making this such great conversation. But do get involved. We love doing what we do, and please support us in that way. Seb, do you want to give your views before we go to the chat? We've got some team selection being put in there. Probably the debates, as we said, is who's going to play right back, who's going to play alongside player of the match on Tuesday night, Sam Morsey, who's going to play right wing. And you've put a question mark against Kiefer Moore. I probably don't have one, but those are probably the four areas, unless I'm missing one.
Only if Kiefer Moore is injured. I'm not going to go crazy and suggest a 4-4-2 like some idiot did this time last week. Yeah, I guess the discussion points are kind of the right-hand side and centre mid, really, aren't they? You've got Twan Zabi was excellent away at Plymouth. He was decent against Bristol, but then Clark came on and kind of straight away that right-hand side was a bit transformed with that natural link-up he has with Burns. So if Clark is fit and good to go, I'd probably have him back in. Burns has to start, doesn't he? Look how he just destroyed was it Macquarie, the left back for Bristol City? He absolutely had him on toast. If he's good to go, if he's fit enough, he has to surely come back on that right-hand side, which means you're going to have to shift Hutchinson across to left wing. Chaplin stays as the 10. And assuming Kiefer Moore is fine after his knock, then yeah, for me, he's in the number 9. I would, however, play Travis alongside Sam Morsey. I thought Luongo was a little bit off it the other night. I know he was ill, wasn't he, for the Plymouth game? So he was a little bit off it. The kind of, I think, is the booking amnesty after the game or before the game? I can't remember.
After the game.
Okay, so Travis would have to be a little bit careful, but I thought he grew into the game really well away at Plymouth. And sometimes when you're away from home and you're up against it a little bit and you've got kind of centre mid snapping into you, which their Seopolis might well do from their centre mid position, I'd want that maybe bit of nous, bit of streetwiseness that Travis potentially does bring. And yeah, I'd have no issues with him starting alongside Morsey on the weekend personally. So I'd go, yeah, I'd bring
being Clark. Being streetwise, by the way, sorry.
Is that you being cool? Is that, yeah. Do that for, there's your TikTok clip this
week.
Podcast.
Put that
out there.
That's get that random there to make a bloody gif about. Keep going.
Get that on there on the socials. Yeah, so I would personally have Clark back in, Burns to start, Hutchinson switching across to the left-hand side, and Travis in alongside Morsey. What would you do? Are you going to go nuts and change the formation again, or are you going to be more reasonable this week?
I'm asking questions, man. I'm just asking questions. Chill out. Let it be. Devil's advocate.
Kieran Slicker to start in goal for you.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Why not? I like him on the what two words thingy on Town TV. I think it's a difficult debate between Tuanzebe and Clark in respect of the opposition.
Is that because it's away?
Away. I thought he was excellent at Plymouth. And it wasn't maybe a game for him on Tuesday night. But I think Clark made the impact. And if Burns is fit to start, I like Burns and Clark as a pair. So I think that there's your covalent bonds. I would go with that. Broadhead, we don't know the situation. We're recording before we've heard Kieran McKenna's presser, so we don't know whether Broadhead comes back in. It would be great. I think someone said it earlier in the chat. Apologies, I can't remember who. If the Welsh contingent were available for this one, but otherwise, I could. Sarmiento, right? Is Sarmiento more of an orthodox?
So much better off the bench, though, isn't he?
That's true. And wasn't great at Plymouth as a starter. So yeah, you've got a fair point there. I just think Hutchinson more effective maybe in the 10 or the right hand side than the left, which is my only doubt. I don't think Harness really did his starting credentials any favours with his performance against Bristol. No, hard game, obviously, difficult to come out from the cold. But yeah, I agree with you on Travis as well. I think Travis did well at Plymouth. I think a little bit of, yeah, maybe Luongo still getting up to speed from illness, isn't he? So yeah, I think probably what you've suggested, if Burns is fit, Clark, if Broadhead isn't fit, then probably, yeah, your config is Hutchinson goes out there, doesn't he, on the left.
I don't think you bring Broadhead straight back in anyway, though, do you? Having been out for a couple of weeks, yeah, it's an away game. I know it's Cardiff, so he will want to play, but a couple of weeks out, being an away game, I think at best he's back on the benches, and it's a big ask for him to come back in, I think.
Let's see what the chat has to say. Nick gave us a thumbs up, early doors for Burns to come back in. Hopefully he's fit enough. Colin asks about Edmondson. I think Burgess, if it's for Burgess, yeah. Colin, I don't think that happens.
No, I think it's Burgess and Wolfenden for the remainder of the season. Burgess did amazing well with that knockdown for the second goal, and he kept the ball alive for that knockdown for Kiefer Moore goal at Plymouth. So, no, I think it's those two. Now, Edmondson was brilliant when he came in, did really well, probably surprised a few of us who thought that Tuanzebe would become the natural partner for Wolfenden whilst Burgess was off at the Asia Cup. But I think it's Burgess and Wolfenden now for me for the rest of the season, providing they're both fit, because that balance is so crucial, isn't it? We've discussed it before. I think Mikey brought it up. You get more out of Leif Davis when Burgess is playing. You also get that option of a big switch out to the right hand side, the right winger or the right fullback. So yeah, Burgess and Wolfie for me for the rest of the season, please.
Fair dues, yeah. And interesting that Wolfie went kind of direct, as he's been, you know, heckled to do by some of the support for the third goal against Bristol City as well. I find that was quite ironic. Colin mentioned there Burgess up for player of the season, and yeah, I mean, there'll be a lot, won't there? Neil says here, not like the James Wilson season for player of the season or when Bart used to win it every season. I mean, Bart deserved it, but that was because no outfield player could have given us an option. Ashley's given us his lineup. Hladke, Clark, Wolfie, Burgess, Davis, Morsey, Luongo, Burns, Hutchinson, Chaplin, and Moore. The only difference
there, same as ours with Travis for Luongo. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Mark would have Travis in there alongside Morsey. Toffee Chris mentioning the illness, perhaps. Colin talking about Hladke dislike and some of that kind of stuff. I think that debate has kind of probably been and gone now, hasn't it? Clark says Neil. Yeah, Joe, does McKenna still get asked about Brendan Williams returning? I think I haven't seen his name mentioned on the live chat so far. It's usually one for us as well, and we obviously have no idea. Hopefully McKenna might give some insight.
He posted an image from Tuesday night's game, so maybe his return is imminent. Look, if he comes back, he can provide a useful bench kind of squad option. We clearly know he's not going to be really that involved because he hasn't played football since the end of November. I think it's a long time to be out. He can hopefully come back, come off the bench if needed, or if we're comfortable in games at kind of 75, 80 minutes, you can maybe give Leif a bit of a rest rather than flogging him every week. So if he comes back, it's a plus.
Matt giving a mention to Jack Taylor. Fantastic tackle on Tuesday night. Love his work ethic and attitude.
And the effort off the post on his left foot was a really good effort as well.
Yeah, I mentioned on Tuesday night, he screamed for, I think it was Chaplin to step over the ball, wasn't it? does he get a start? We did talk about him on Tuesday night, but probably we felt too soon, wasn't it?
And yeah,
maybe
not for me.
Do an attack and a player to play away in the centre mid.
Yeah, his natural game is to get on the end of things and get forward, I think, isn't it? And for me, he's been out for a month, was it 5 weeks? So that was his first appearance. He only played, was it 30 minutes the other night, 35 minutes maybe with the added on time. So although I think he's an excellent kind of squad player, I'd be surprised if he came right in. But I think he'll have a decent contribution to make in the remaining kind of 10 games. As Jacob says there, with that long shot that we all know he's so capable of.
Yeah, maybe not one for this weekend, though, Jacob, according to Seb. Tommy asked about Travis playing at Blackburn, but I don't either.
No, he can't. It's a loan, so he's alone. He'll be ineligible, so he'll have to sit that one out and be ready to go for Southampton on the Monday if needed.
Charlie's given us Hladky and Moore up front. If I'm reading it in order, I'm only joking, Charlie. Hladky, Wolfen and Burgess, Twan, Zabi, Davis, Morsey, Travis, Burns, Hutchinson, Chaplin, Moore. So that chimes, I think, with apart from Clark, with what you said, didn't it, Seb? And yeah, I think, yeah, a lot of people then chatting back and forth on the chat. I think we've probably covered all the big stuff. Shall we talk about your favourite feature of the podcast, Seb? Let's do it. It was a naughty word there.
We need to bring in a new feature for this. If I back Ipswich and you don't, I should get some kind of recognition for that. You do well out of backing against us, which is awful. So in the chat, if you give me a thumbs up, if you agree with me that if I back Town to win and he wins and he backs him to draw or whatever, that should be held against him, because I think it should be disloyal. Sack Woodward for being disloyal against Ipswich Town.
And that, folks, is why Seb's going to lose the prediction league this year.
Because it's a valid point.
It's a stupid point. This is not how you
look
win.
Look at that. David Bradley in the chat, thumbs up. Neil Wilmore, agree, Seb. Thank you, folks. Keep it going. Together we can break this reign of terror that we're all
dead
subject
air
to.
Air is a crime. I'm happy to sit here and wait for more thumbs up. They are flooding in, folks. Yeah, there you go. Shrieky's giving you one as well. Yeah. I'm going to stick with the idea that you predict the outcome. And sometimes I'm wrong, and I was wrong last week, but it didn't matter because I predicted two other wins elsewhere. Bang on. Won the week and Jacob did well, but you less so, Seb, even though you got an Ipswich Town win correct. And look at the gap there at the top. 5 points from Telegram, represented by Jacob at the moment. But yeah, 16 points.
Have you worked out, as your spreadsheet worked out, at what point it will become unassailable for me? You must know that by now, mustn't you?
It's going to go on quite long. So I wouldn't, I wouldn't worry too much. We're going to keep it on. There's a couple good. More. There's another thumbs up for you.
Yeah.
But that's four.
And give the people what they want. Paul Carr, quite right, Seb, should back your team. Thank you, Paul.
I'd like to agree with Seb. But it's Seb in it. There you go.
Wow, thanks.
He knows the spirit. Cheers. He knows he's pressing.
Is that
the
you? Are you doing a Michael Beale? Are you tweeting live chat as you speak? Yeah.
Yeah. To be fair, there's no support for me, but I don't think anyone gives a crap, do they? What have we got here? Oh, David's giving us an early prediction. I want to go there yet. Norman's comment keeps moving as people keep praising Seb. The Blue Monday board have just given. Well, yeah, that's not really how it works around here, Norman, I'm afraid.
He is the Blue Monday board. He is judge, jury, and executioner. If any of us ever disappear, you know we've had a kill list like Successor where Woodward's called us into a Zoom and binned us off.
Squad rotation in the summer. We're going to bring in Jacob Powley on a free transfer and let someone go. Let's have a look at what we've got. We've mentioned the exciting game in Yorkshire on Friday night. We are both hoping that Sheffield Wednesday do us a favour, Seb.
I'm confident. I don't know why. There's no real logic, but they've had a real big upturn in form. And for some reason, it's a sign. Last week, my TikTok feed, hello kids, for some weird reason, I've got no idea why, the algorithm became do you remember just before the playoff second leg when the whole of Hillsborough was singing the, hi-ho Sheffield Wednesday? I had about 5 videos of that in the space of an hour. And I thought that's a sign because that's what it'll be like tomorrow night. So that's what I based my hope on that they might do us a favour. It's my prediction is based on TikTok's algorithm.
Even more. Sorry. I love this peek behind the curtains. This is
it
how
just
you
came
make
up.
Predictions.
I have no idea why. I've never Googled it or anything. I was just sat there. I was scrolling through and it
Wednesday
came up
next to your phone. It listens, man.
Maybe, but it came up and it was showing that it was like a minute clip, and it was then before that second leg of the Peterborough game. It was so loud. Darren Moore was bigging them all up, and I thought, oh, it's a derby tomorrow night, isn't it? That's what they'll be like. So that's my logic.
I think Huddersfield last week gives us a signal as well what's possible. So I think that's, I'm just borrowing off that logic. Hull v Leicester, you are going Leicester. I think Hull might do us a favour there.
Or do you remember last time Leicester lost a couple and then won like 10 on the bounce?
Yeah, I know.
That's my logic. They won, didn't they, the other night? 1-0. Vardy with the goal. I think they might just go on another little bit of a run now.
Have you seen the clip of our friend, our fan network friends at Leicester Till I Die TV talking about our equaliser on their live stream?
No.
It was posted in Telegram. I think he
Which
said,
one? Our winner or our equaliser?
Our equaliser. I don't think I don't think they talked about the winner, but they talked about the equaliser because I think their game was a 7:45. So I think they moved on to other things by the time we won it. But it was basically, oh, why don't you F off and die, Ipswich?
It's like, what's a bit extreme, isn't it?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Okay. I'll take the F off bit, but yeah, escalated quickly.
It was a bit unnecessary, wasn't it? Southampton, Sunderland, not expecting Sunderland to do us any favours though, are we?
No, I don't think so. I think a bit like Cardiff, they're one of the sides that have got relatively little to play for the rest of the season. A few months ago under Moggan, maybe it's a more daunting effort for Southampton, but a bit of pressure on them now because we could be, what, 11 points clear if we win the early kickoff. Obviously, their game last night was postponed due to the fire. And yeah, they could be 11 points behind us at 3 o'clock when they kick off. And that's a bit of pressure. And that postponement last night will lead to a lot of fixture congestion for them in the last few weeks of the season. So
yeah,
hopefully their stuttering form will continue a little bit.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. Well, any other games take your fancy there? Norwich getting easy games, aren't they?
Yeah. Who's the Telegram predictor?
Jacob.
You and Jacob going for Watford to get something against Coventry. That surprises me a little bit. You've gone for a point. Jacob's gone for
only because have you seen this Dean Austin hoo-ha thing on WhatsApp?
Yeah.
We don't know if it's true or not, it sounds like it is.
Do you think it's superimposed?
Well, either that or it's like my dad's phone isn't that blown up in terms of the text.
If you haven't seen it, basically someone's pictured Dean Austin, is he the assistant manager or something?
Head of recruitment, I think.
Head of recruitment of Cov. He's been scouting out the Watford game and he's clearly texting the manager saying this lot are done, they're not playing for the manager, etc. And someone's put a couple of pictures of the text conversation between the two of them online last night, whenever it was. So, yeah, I'm not sure if it's 100% real, but... If it is, well, fair play.
Get your predictions in for Cardiff v Ipswich, which we will go to those next. But let's see what Seb has to say. Seb's prediction, go for a clean sheet, along with Jacob going for a clean sheet. Really?
Yeah, I think it'll be quite narrow. I don't think that, like we said, they don't score that many goals. So I'm going to put that in our favour. We nullified Plymouth pretty well on the road last weekend. And obviously, we've always got enough about us to get a victory. So I'm going to go for, do you remember the start of the season? We would always win 3-2 at home and win 1-0 away. Well, we won 3-2 at home on Tuesday night. So I'm going to go for a 1-0 away victory for a bit of symmetry.
Love that. I think Cardiff will score a crappy set piece. Mm-hmm. But... to your earlier moan, I'm predicting an Ipswich Town victory on the road.
Makes a change.
Check back the tapes, mate. Check back the tapes.
You thought we'd draw last week. Didn't you say 2-2 or 1-1, was it?
Yeah, I don't think many, it's 2-2 is not a bad result there, but I just didn't know to what extent how bad Plymouth would be, especially second half. Can't foresee that much, but...
Should back your own side.
A little bit of an emotional hedge at times as well. So, yeah. So we're all... pretty confident. Let's see how the chat is feeling about it as well. We already did some sneaky previews there. Toffee Chris has gone for 4-5. Yeah, it might be.
Would you be that surprised?
I mean, anything's possible, isn't it? David was the first one in. He's going for an Ipswich 3-1. Charlie going for an Ipswich 2-1. There you go. All Seb, aren't we?
Good lad, Tommy.
I think it's all Seb, are we? I think so. Aren't we is negative? I don't know. I'm just looking for to get Seb flummox Seb a bit more. Three times I've said that. Ready to go for a 2. We're in tractor 2-1.
Not many clean sheets. People are agreeing with you, aren't they?
Yeah,
they're suggesting Greg not many clean sheets about.
Michael 3-2. Another 3-2. Clark to score the winner and
a minimum of one own goal.
There you go. Paul Smith is predicting Kiefer Moore to go back and haunt his old club. He's going for a more hat trick in a 3-1. But yeah, Neil is giving you a clean sheet some support there. But Colin's going for a 1-3. Seems the popular score, doesn't it? I was wondering where the universe doesn't care. Here he is. No pushovers, he says, but Cardiff. But I think we are due a good start and a comfortable win. 2-0 at halftime. Put that on your TV program. We are live on Sky. As Toffee Crisp asks there, Gary's gone for a 2-2. Is Mark gone for a 1-1? He's a little bit apprehensive. I think an away point, never to be sniffed at, but
No,
you'd back this in the current form. It depends what your aspirations are.
Given what's to come in April time, that you need
make
to
make some hay.
Get the points on the board this week and next week before the Easter program kicks in.
Yep. David has gone for a 3-1 as well. To brace for Burns. Another 3-1. All the 3-1.
3-1 is the scoreline, isn't it?
Streaky 0-3. Cardiff 2, Ipswich. Sorry, Cardiff 1, Ipswich 2 from Charlie. Back in my scoreline. 3-1, 2-3 from Tommy. They go 0-9, Seb, Mr. Portaloo.
That's mullet levels of prediction there.
Yeah. 1-1, CC Drags going for a 1-1 with the Ipswich badge in the. It's not Cardiff. Tim, our mate Tim, we met Tim last week in the in the bars of Plymouth, didn't we? Had a good time there. 3-0, a lucky 2-0, says Paul. Chris, who's got good form, predicted 2-0 last week. He's predicting it this week and is joined by our mate Richard as well. We'll be back next week to see if Seb can make a dent in my seemingly unassailable lead at the top of the predictions table and whether Jacob could... Jacob's probably more of a threat at this moment, I suspect, Seb. But, you know, keep trying, keep looking at TikTok and maybe that'll steer you right and we'll check in next week. Press the button before you.
I wasn't going to swear. I was going to say if I tell you to f off, do we get in trouble with the YouTube?
No, video? No.
I didn't do it. I was very.
No. 56 minutes in, you can one or two are fine, but it does mean that if you see the podcast has a if you're listening to this back on podcast, by the way, and if you made it to all the way through, thank you. We appreciate you in podcast land. Please give us a review as well, 5-star rating. But I do have to mark it as being explicit.
Good. Work for you then, right?
You'll know. If Seb swears between now and the end of the podcast, if you see that little symbol.
I won't tonight, but I think I might save it for the future. I did swear, if you've got some housekeeping, I did swear just before the predictions feature.
Yeah, he said shy. I heard that. Yeah. Unprofessional. Do get your last thoughts in, any other predictions, team news, anything else, questions for Seb, support for Seb and his ridiculous predictions methodology. Do join us back here on Sunday night, 8 p.m. for the flagship show. Ben, Dave and Craig, as we said, I'll let Seb do a few bits and pieces as well. You can talk about the Telegram group, Seb, because that goes from strength to strength. Do get involved in our giveaway with Matthew Woods on our socials. Do join us, Ben and I, for his watch along on Saturday. If you're not able to go to the game, you want some company during the match, live stream here on this channel and Ben's as well. So get involved in that as well. And lots of you here, fantastic numbers. Thank you everyone who's given us your support by being here, for getting in the chat. Please do give us a thumbs up. Thank you to the folks who've done that on Facebook. Subscribe as well. Hopefully lots more positivity to discuss in the coming weeks. Up to May and hopefully beyond as well. Who knows? But yeah, thank you everyone for getting involved. And I'll let Seb say a few bits and I'll do the final word.
Yeah, you've got to keep this run going with your sign off. Thank you to everybody for getting involved. Great numbers in the chat. Great to hear from everybody. Please give us a like, smash the like button and give us a subscribe. That way the content that we're flying out, you'll forgive us. We're obviously going to throw out as much content as we can because for the second year running out of the previous 10 odd, it's quite fun being a Town fan right now and being able to produce fun content rather than seeing it trying to work out what to talk about. Please give us a review on your podcast app of choice. Get on Telegram. It is brilliant. If you want almost professional level tactical insight from the likes of Sean Calvert and Kev Ellis, ex-Ipswich Town player, Dan Kev Connor. Ellis, get yourselves in there. Dan Connor as well. The level of insight these guys bring is absolutely brilliant. It's far better than me and Rich can put up with on a Thursday night. They outdo us every single time. It's brilliant. You get pictorial images. You get pictorial images. Every image is pictorial, isn't it?
Pictorial.
You just get pictures explaining exactly how teams are lining up. It's a great place to be. It's a great community. It's free for the first couple of weeks and it's only a fiver. And this time of the season is the best time to join because it will be absolute non-stop with the games coming thick and fast and the general positivity. Tune in for the flagship. Come and see Ben, Dave and Craig discuss how we got on in South Wales. And I'll say thanks very much. And over to you, my friend, to take us out.
Yeah, thanks, mate. All your hard work, your quality predictions, but yeah, your fantastic research every week. Some really lovely comments. Thank you, everyone, especially those of you admitted that you love the pre-match the most. We love you too. Please say hello to Craig if you see him in Cardiff. And hopefully we'll see lots of you in the Greyhound next week as well for Sheffield Wednesday. We'll be back to talk about that as well. Blue Monday, itfc.co.uk is where all of our stuff is. But thank you everyone for joining. Great numbers, as we said. Thank you everyone for getting involved. Hopefully more positivity, as we said, to talk about on Sunday. And as always, we'll sign out by saying, come on, you Blues!
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.